Retail comes back with a vengeance in the stock market. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. 10 years on from the financial crisis, we are still in the longest bull market in history, such a far cry from where markets were back then. Hillary Kramer is president and chief investment officer of A&G Capital. She says one of the biggest signs of relief right now is the return of the retail sector.
Costco hit a new 52-week high, up 56%. And we look to the railroad companies. Union Pacific just hit a 52-week high. It's up 49%, that stock, in the last 52 weeks. All of this points to a very strong economy as we stand right now.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk has attracted a lot of very much unwanted attention for the company over the past couple of weeks. You argue that if that stock does not perform well, it could take a lot of wind out of the sails of this bull market. But it's just one stock. Why do you argue that?
Tesla is a proxy for everything that advancement in the auto manufacturing industry. It looks very serious at Tesla. The bonds, the price of the bonds continues to drop, and Tesla needs to go out there, and it needs financing, and it needs it badly. So if Tesla falls, it could be what ignites real concern, and we could see those that have made tens of millions of dollars in technology companies start to sell off and say, maybe this was the top.
Hillary Kramer, president and chief investment officer of A&G Capital, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Small business owners' confidence in the economy has hit a 35-year high. That's according to fresh data out this morning from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. The nonprofit lobby measures small business optimism every month, and the latest data from August show big gains. Marketplace's Renata Sago has the details.
This index of small business confidence had a major spike in late 2016 and has more or less been inching up ever since. But last month was the highest rating the Federation's ever seen. Job openings hit a record according to this index. So did small businesses' plans to hire. Now, that's a good sign for the labor market because it suggests there's a need for more workers and companies are ready to fill those openings. But there's still a problem. Companies say they can't find the right skilled workers for those positions, and that frustration was also at a record high. And it's really consistent with what we've been hearing for a while from businesses, small and large, and that's really that the jobs are out there, but the qualified labor force is not. On the flip side, the small businesses surveyed said they expected to make higher sales and boost inventory. These sorts of sentiments are really promising for the GDP long term. And when we match that up against consumer confidence, which hit a high in August, it's the sign of a healthy economy. Small business optimism has a lot to do with the new tax overhaul. One trend that has stayed the same, though, is wage stagnation. Also, a small percentage of businesses said it's been hard for them to get a decent credit line to expand.
Renata, thank you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
In a lot of cities, you have not only bike sharing, but also dockless scooter sharing, ride sharing. There are basically a lot of options for making short, fairly inexpensive trips to work or to the train. For low-income workers, though, low-cost transit options like these could change their job prospects, maybe even help them out of homelessness. At least that's the hope. Megan McCarty-Carino reports from Los Angeles.
It's a big day for Oscar Ramos. He's loading his belongings into a van operated by a homeless outreach program. He's getting a ride to a motel in Long Beach, a city south of L.A. He'll have a bed and a roof over his head for the first time in months.
I've been homeless for a while already. I've just been living from place to place, from park to park, from tent to tent.
Short-term housing is a first step to getting Ramos back on his feet, but it will be a long road from there, literally. He'll need to travel over an hour, taking the train, then the bus, and walking to get from his new home, 25 miles away, to medical and social service appointments in downtown LA. The nonprofit provides him with transit tokens for those trips or job interviews, but tokens might not be enough for people like Ramos, or even discounted fares available to low-income riders in cities like Seattle and San Francisco.
Transit is not nearly as good at connecting people to the labor market as cars.
That's Marlon Bornett, professor of urban planning at the University of Southern California. He's studied how different modes of transportation affect work opportunities. People with cars have access to as many as 30 times the number of jobs within a half-hour commute compared to people who rely on public transportation. Still, Bornett says scooters and rideshare could help with the disparity.
They also need something that can work for them in terms of time cost.
Simply speeding up how people get to transit stops could improve people's job access. Veronica Lewis is the director of homeless outreach at the Los Angeles nonprofit that's been helping Oscar Ramos. She says transportation is key.
If we don't figure out a way to reduce the burden of getting to and fro, the problem will continue to get worse.
A 2015 Harvard study showed that access to reliable transportation was the single biggest factor in the odds of escaping poverty. And Lewis says she's seen it many times with clients like Oscar Ramos. Rideshare, a dockless bike, or a scooter could help put him on the road to a better future. In Los Angeles, I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And that report comes to us from a journalism collaboration exploring the California dream. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.